Horror on Horror. "Finally, you show yourself," Clover grunted at the sun. "You coy bastard." It was good to feel its warmth on his face, finally, like an old friend much missed, like wonderful in that regard. He couldn't help wincing at the thought. She wouldn't be back. His knife had made sure of that. As for the sun, it had turned up too late to help much. A couple of weeks of marching and Black Calder's carefully stitched together host was coming apart at the seams. Men sick, men hungry, men frozen and frostbitten, men sleepless and exhausted, men so filth-caked they looked like devils, white eyes staring haunted from dirt-grey faces. Plenty more chosen to turn their backs on this boggy nightmare and run, in spite of the deserters strung from trees by the road and carved with the bloody cross, fly-blown guts dangling. Scouts stared into their fires rather than at the far hills. Carls fretted more on warmth than weapons. The only enemy on anyone's mind was the mud, against whom no victory could be won. A great trail of discarded gear, mired wagons, dead horses, not to mention dead men, left abandoned across the boot-mashed country behind them. Not far from the jealously guarded patch of grass on which Clover and his people had got a lick of fire going, a column cursed through the swampy morass in the valley's bottom, spears wobbling at all angles like the prickles of a hedgehog, a filthy standard slumping from a filthy pole. There'd been a road under that slop once, Clover thought, a thing now dimly remembered, a fantastical story once heard, like dry boots, warmth, and unchafed fruits.
"I'm starting to think," murmured Flick, as he added a couple of damp sticks to the fire with wincing care, "that war ain't half the fun it's made out to be."
"It's worth all the effort," grunted Downside, "when you get a good battle."
"Good battle."
Scholler held her hands so close to the flames it was only the stubborn damp in their rag wrappings stopped them catching fire.
"Not sure those two words belong next to one another."
"A bit like saying it's worth the weeks of slow death to enjoy an hour or two's furious murder."
Clover tried to pull his bedraggled wolfskin collar up higher, but there was no hiding from the keen wind knifing down the valley sides, still with the odd patch of melting snow splattered on him.
"Talking of furious murder,"
Flick stared wide-eyed the way they'd come, a great wagon grinding towards them, men backing horrified out of its way.
"Here comes Stand of the Barrows."
Clover had expected some raven-haired, brooding giant, like Stranger Come Knocking had been. But the new chief of 100 tribes was a colourless man, with whorls of grey scar cut into his hollow cheeks, thick veins showing in the skull-like rings under his eyes, in which you almost thought you could see the blood pulse. He sat swaying in the wagon seat as its wheels ground through the rutted mud, calm and easy as a farmer on his turnip cart. Trouble was, his cargo wasn't turnips, but bones. Heaps of them, boiled bare, white and yellow. The four horses that drew it were covered head to hoof in bones, made devil steeds, their eyes showing wild through split horse skulls, bones dangling from their tattered manes, woven into their tails. The man himself had tiny bones stitched to his armour in strange designs. Finger bones. Children's finger bones, maybe.
"Bones is the theme, I reckon," muttered Scholler. "One to which he has committed," said Flick, wider-eyed than ever.
A wretched group were dragged after, chained to the wagon seat by collars around their necks. Boys and girls, men and women, half-naked and spattered with filth to their hair, beaten and bloody, stumbling and slipping. They sent up a miserable music of moans, to which the clunking of the wagon's soiled axles was the percussion.
Will you look at this fucking pantomime? Muttered Clover, as if anyone could have looked away. He was a hard man to disgust, but this spectacle had managed it. A crowd of spiked and scarred and war-painted savages trotted behind, with their jagged weapons and their strange standards and their pierced faces, eyes rolling in ecstasy at the thought of the blood to be spilled. There were dogs with them, great dogs straining at iron-toothed leads, cruel dogs treated cruelly, big as wolves and far meaner, teeth filed to points, snarling and snapping at whoever was fool enough to stray near. Carls and thralls scrambled from the path of this visitation from hell, or beyond the crinner, which was about the same thing, with various expressions of grim hate, shock, fear, outrage, and disgust. Downside noisily hawked up phlegm and spat roughly in the savage's direction. "It's arseholes like this give the North a bad name." "For once we agree," said Scholler. Stand i' the Barrows reined in his bone-covered horses, not moved one bit by the disgust of his supposed allies, and Clover saw Black Calder nudge his own black mount up beside the wagon. You expected a jagged howl to rip from that ghost-pale corpse face. It was almost worse to hear an ordinary sort of voice saying ordinary sorts of things.
"Black Calder, my friend, good to see the sun. It may dry things up."
"We can hope," said Calder, voice a little tight. "The scouts are looking down on Carlion just over those hills." He squinted up at the clouds shifting. "Reckon there'll be a battle tomorrow."
"Lovely."
Stand i' the Barrow's colourless eyes were fixed on the horizon.
"I still have empty wagons, and Byers told me you would help me fill them. Should we stop for dinner soon?"
He turned around to talk to one of his slaves.
"What do we have for dinner?"
Her split lips moved. She whispered something. Stand i' the Barrows caught her chain from the bunch and dragged her towards him so sharply the corner of the cart dug into her shoulder and she was knocked down in the mud. He wound the chain around his fist, hauling her bruised face up towards his, her bare toes scraping at the ground.
"Did you not hear me? I asked, what's for dinner?"
She had her fingers squeezed into her collar, skin all white around it from the pressure.
"Mutton,"
she gasped out. Stand i' the Barrows let her drop, and she knelt in the mud, spitting and gasping.
"I like mutton. We will have a nice gravy with it too."
He smacked his lips.
"I insist always on a good gravy."
"It makes the meat," muttered Calder, watching the girls scramble back to the rest of the slaves.
"Do you like mutton, Black Calder? Will you join me for mutton and gravy later?"
"Other business, sadly. Have to get the men ready."
"You're all work. A man must make time for fun. But still."
Stand i' the Barrows laughed a high, good-humoured laugh.
"More mutton for me."
And he snapped his reins and sent his wagoner nightmares rattling on.
"You ever feel,"
murmured Flick, as he watched the slaves dragged after, bouncing off each other, clutching at their collars, sending up a chorus of sobs,
"that you're on the wrong side of the question?"
"Increasingly."
Clover scratched gently at his scar.
"Whichever side I pick."
"I mean..."
Flick was looking down at himself, patting his chest, as if picturing a costume like Stand i' the Barrows wore.
"Why cover yourself with bones?"
"'Cause being feared is a heady brew,"
muttered Downside, who was bringing out his whetstone for his favourite hobby of sharpening his axe.
"Men get drunk on it."
"First fear's their weapon."
Clover remembered winning a few fights before they began, using just a hard stare and the weight of his name.
"Then it becomes their shield. Only thing that'll stop their enemies trying to kill 'em. Only thing that'll stop their friends trying to kill 'em. They get scared of not being feared enough, so they pile horror on horror, turn themselves into monsters. And since memory tends to make the past look bigger, today's bastards are always hunting for ways to out-bastard the bastards of yesteryear.
It's sort of an atrocity contest, mused Cholla, tapping her lip with one finger as she watched Downside grinding at his axe blade.
Aye, said Clover, sighing, and the winner gets the same prize as the losers, an early grave.
Enough to make him miss the bloody nine. He might have killed more men than Winter, but he never made some fucking travelling show out of it.
The sad truth is, men love to follow a man other men fear, said Clover. Makes them feel fearsome too. We tell the odd fond story of the good men, the straight edges, your Rudd Three Trees, your dog men, but it's the butchers men love to sing of, the burners and the blood spillers, your cracknut Wirrens and your black dows, your bloody nines. Men don't dream of doing the right thing, but of ripping what they want from the world with their strength and their will.
And that's what we'll do tomorrow.
Downside gave his axe one last lick with the stone and held it up to the light to admire its edge.
Something to look forward to, eh?
Clover watched him, grinning in the sunlight at the idea of mayhem. By the dead, had he once been that way?
Why hasn't she run?
He muttered, frowning towards the hills. He thought of Ricker perched in Scarling's chair with that knowing smile. That big black eye with the runes around it, the pupil yawning like a pit full of secrets.
What's she seen with that long eye of hers?
He gave a shiver. A cloud had come across the sun again and cast the muddy valley into shadow.